worship service. It's about worship. It's about exalting God. It's about drawing nigh to God. It's about taking what you heard in Sunday school and letting the Holy Ghost then write it in our hearts. Praise God. If it don't get written in our heart, then we'll probably forget it. But when he writes it in our hearts, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's an old song that we sing sometimes, you know, when God dips his pen of love into my heart and writes my soul a message that he wants me to know. Ooh, praise God. Don't you want to know what God wants you to know? Amen. Hallelujah. Or do you think you know enough? Well, sometimes we think we know enough. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, but has it been written in your heart yet? I mean, you may have heard it 100 times, but has it been written in your heart yet? Amen. There are people that can quote this Bible word for word, and it's still not in there. That is such a sad thing, isn't it? And here's what we're talking about this morning in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." In other words, it's a definite thing. And then, as we read on here, just start listening, thinking about the world we're living in. And sad to say, even the church world that we have knowledge of. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers." In other words, they don't take care of their business like they should. "False accusers, incontinent, fierce." And that's talking about, you know, road rage. Does that make sense to you? "Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors." A traitor is someone who will sell you out so that nothing will go bad for them. That's a traitor. "Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And here's the saddest part. And this is the verse number 5 lets us know that he's not just talking about the world. He's talking about the church. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Verse number 7 is a sad statement by Paul, trying to encourage Timothy to keep pressing on. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's when he writes it in your heart. It's not enough to hear it all the time. It's got to be written in the heart. The place of decisions. The place of the will. Amen. Praise our God. You can be seated again this morning. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Praise God. We've talked about a race in our preaching different times. We've talked about fighting the fight of faith. Here we're talking about endurance. Once again, talking about a fight or a race, or could be soldiers. Soldiers of the Lord, followers of Jesus Christ, men and women that stand. I like what Brother Robert shared, that stand for freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from selfishness. Freedom from self-will. Freedom. There's a song we sing sometimes, this is how it feels to be free. Praise God. The freedom we have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want to preach to us just for a little while here this morning. And when I say little while, I'm talking about my little while, not necessarily your little while. Hallelujah. Because my little while and your little while probably are not the same definitions. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if I can keep it under an hour, it's been a little while. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, your little while may be 15 minutes. That's fine. You can keep your preaching down to 15 minutes. My little while is 45. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise our God. But I just want to share some things with us here this morning because we are living in the last days. Will everybody agree to that? We are living in the last days. We are at the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which also means we are at the threshold of the great tribulation and the rise of that man of sin, the Antichrist. And so John told us that the spirit of the Antichrist already worked in his day. And how much more now, as you and I see that day approaching, do we realize that the enemy is upping his game. The enemy is coming against the church, not the one that he already has, but the one that is standing, the one that is fighting, the one that is striving, the one that is longing to be that soldier for the king, longing to be that servant of the living God, longing to be everything God wants them to be. That's the one he's focusing in on. Anybody that is not really paying attention to what's going on or paying attention to their Bible study, their Bible reading, or their prayer life, he's not worried about them. He's got them. Hello, praise God. But those that are praying, those that are reading, those that are studying, those that attend the house of God faithfully, those that are serious about serving God, he's got his sights on you. He's got his fiery darts on you. He's got his lying spirits, his seducing spirits coming after you. Coming after me. Hallelujah. And so we see, as we read here what Paul wrote Timothy, we see that in the last days the enemy is going to be wreaking havoc. He is going to be gaining ground. He is going to be taking those that used to be faithful into this list that Paul gave Timothy of the error of their ways. I don't think that you're above error. All error is loving yourself more than you love God. That's the first step of error. Wow. Unthankfulness, that's a first step of error. See, a lot of times we think error, that's some type of grotesque sin. No, error is when our minds and our hearts start moving somewhere besides allegiance to Jesus Christ and thankfulness for the freedom that's through the power of his blood. Hallelujah. And so I want to preach to you this morning just for a little bit. I've said that already, but hold your guns. Hold your guns. I'm not talking about an AK-47. I'm not talking about a 357. And there, you can relax now. Jason reached down. He was holding his gun. Woo. Hey, that's obedience. I mean, that was swift to obey. Hold your guns. I'm not really talking about a military force of a physical realm, of a natural realm, but I am talking about the reality of hanging on to what you know is right, what's been written in your heart, and standing your ground against the onslaught of the enemy when he comes against your mind. Hallelujah. I did a little bit of a devotion once again. My devotion was 30 minutes. Everybody else's devotion's 15. And so I guess it's because I'm the senior pastor. I've got to do double. I don't know. It just comes natural for me. And I'll tell you why. Because my first sermon that I preached lasted 45 minutes. And I preached on the sluggard. That was my first sermon. Amen. Most first sermons for most folks is about 10 minutes. Mine was not. I had a lot I felt like God wanted me to share. Praise God. And so they endured hardness as good soldiers, as I have found that you do the same. Praise God. Amen. And so that's why it's just a matter of trying to get the message across, to hold your guns, to be steady, to stand strong, to realize we are in perilous times, and you and I are not exempt from it, just because we're children of God, just because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and just because God has been moving in wonderful ways, we are not exempt from the attack of the enemy, as Brother Robert has already kind of shared a little bit. Hallelujah. Because when God begins to do something, and I was just reading a quote, I think it was A.W. Tozer, he said, you might as well kind of get ready, because when you start manifesting the presence of Christ in your church, you can rest assured that the devil is going to get upset. You can rest assured he's going to launch an attack, not upon the whole church at one time, but it'll just be on you, and then on you, and then on you, and then on you, until he gets the whole congregation under attack of his lies, his deceptions, to bring us down to where we just can't put one foot in front of another. I don't know if I can make it. No. Hold your guns. Hallelujah. You've got the advantage over the enemy. You've got the strong tower. Hallelujah. You got the sun behind you. Hallelujah. And whether you realize it or not, that is a great advantage if you're in an attack of a military maneuver and the sun is at your back and it's in the eyes of your enemy. Hallelujah. That means he can't really see what you're doing or what's really going on. And so when the Bible says he's our sun and he's our shield and he's our shelter, hallelujah, it's trying to let us know everything is on our side if we'll just hold our guns, if we'll just stand our ground, if we'll just rise up and be strong in the power of his might. Glory, the provision is there. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, that's one thing that when military is in battle, they want to make sure their supply line of ammunition is on a constant coming. And of course, any enemy of any enemy knows that if you can shut off the supply line, if you can shut off the ammunition, you have nothing to fight with. Be strong in the power of his might. If he can shut off that supply line, if he can get us dry in our soul, dry in our spirit, if he can get us where we're not really full of the Spirit of God, but we're in that wrestling match of the Spirit's on one shoulder and the devil's on the other, and here we are going back and forth and trying to decide which way we're going. Stand your ground, move towards God, draw nigh to God, and yes, the enemy will flee from you. Amen. Glory. And so we see here then that this is the onslaught. This is what's coming against us. I mean, this is what we're facing in society today. This is the mind frame of men and women today. It really astounds me how that Paul, in that day, that hour, began to share what the Spirit of God began to reveal to him in that day and that hour of what shape the world was going to be in. Do you realize that it's actually been that way before? Who's ever heard the terminology history repeats itself? Anybody ever heard the terminology or read in your history about the Dark Ages? Yeah, well, they call them the Dark Ages because there was hardly any light of Jesus Christ shining. And thus men became this right here, what we've read in 2 Timothy. It's already happened before. But then all of a sudden, that glimmer of light began to shine. God began to move, and a heart began to move with God. And those 95 theses were nailed on that door by Martin Luther, coming against the wickedness of the church of that day. And the just shall live by faith was born again. Oh, did you catch that? Was born again. In other words, God began to move. Light began to move. The dark ages began to be left behind. And from that point forward, men that God began to move on and move in began to get the Word of God in the English language. So mere men could read God's Word and God could have access into the lives of human beings again. And the dark ages were being pushed back. Light was coming into the world again. And from that point forward, we came all the way to the early 1900s, and Pentecost was restored. Hallelujah. I mean, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. John Wesley, sanctification of this physical body. I mean, every part of it. The Methodist movement, every movement that came along. Born again by the Spirit of God. Every denomination that's come along has added to the light. The sad part about it is almost every denomination that has come along has fallen to that, because they didn't hold their guns to the truths of the kingdom of God. They begin to compromise. They didn't hold their guns. And so you can look at it. Every day, even Pentecostal denominations have fallen to this. Every major denomination in America right now is full of corruption. Some place, some form, some fashion. Not everybody that's part of that denomination is full of corruption. But every denomination has corruption in it. It has some of 2 Timothy chapter 3 in it. Heady, high-minded, lovers of selves, proud, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. It's in the denominations. It saddens me as you hear the news, the information, the boasting. That's what really gets me, is how they boast about the sin they allow in their denominations now. That's what that boasting's about. See, we've got to hold our guns. We've got to stand our ground. Hallelujah. We've got to stand on the truths of our God. Amen. Iniquity is abounding in Matthew chapter 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And why is it people fall away? Because they lose their first love. You can give 101 reasons why you leave your first love, but when you lose your first love, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. But if you're in love with Jesus Christ, you don't want to do anything against what he wants done, because you love him so much. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It's a love problem sometimes, and not the fact that we're not getting love. It's not we're not giving love in the proper places. Amen. And because iniquity shall abound, how many will agree iniquity has abounded? Yeah. Iniquity has abounded. One of the great escalations of iniquity is that cell phone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm really, really serious. Really, teenagers don't need internet service at all on their cell phone now. They really don't. Not at all. They just don't. There is so much garbage out there. They just need to be able to communicate with mom and dad, pastor, his wife. Hallelujah. So they can be victorious and overcome, because the temptations are there. And they don't even have to go there. It comes to them. Facebook is getting plumb filthy anymore. I'm serious. I mean, we've got to stand our ground. We've got to hold our guns. Technology is a great thing for business. Technology is a great thing for promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But technology is not a place for teenagers to cast their eyes. Hallelujah. Nor spend their time. And it amazes me. I was just driving down the road, going to the 4th of July fireworks. And here was a little boy walking down the road. Actually, he was walking in a yard, probably headed home. And he was probably not much bigger than Weston. And he had a cell phone in his hand that was twice as big as the one I have. And I look at that and I think, why? Why? That boy no more needed that cell phone. Then we need COVID. Why does that child have that cesspool of sin in his hand? Who has no capability of overcoming or controlling himself? Take note, children are born with no capability of controlling themselves. It is up to mom and dad to train them how to control themselves. And if mom and dad fail in that area, then you're going to be once again promoting society of 2 Timothy chapter 3. They will do whatever they want, when they want, how they want. There will be no control. So parents, it is your duty to teach control to your children. If you want them to serve God, you're going to have to teach it to them. Because if they're always out of control, they'll never serve God. Because God says, I want you under control. Woo! Praise our God. You see, we got to hold our guns. We got to hold our guns. We can't just give way to the pressures of the world. We cannot. The King Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 38. And it shall be, this is God talking to Jeroboam and giving him a promise. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did. Now, Jeroboam was not a descendant of David. He was actually a servant of Solomon. But Solomon had turned the wrong direction. And God was moving to Jeroboam. And he was giving him this promise. And he said that I will be with thee. Now, man, if you had a promise like that, what would you do? We do have a promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But he had that promise. If you will but keep my commandments, if you'll just hearken unto what I command thee. Wow, glory to God. I mean, this is a promise of promises here. God is letting him know, all you got to do is follow me, listen unto me, and do what's right in my sight, and I will be with you and build thee a sure house as I built for David and will give Israel unto thee. So here's a servant, not of the lineage of David, just a servant of Solomon that was a serious servant. He served Solomon. He served the king. And God chose him out and said, here's what I'll do for you if you will but follow me. If you will but just listen to me. If you will just do what I ask you to do. Wow, I will build your house. You want your house built, fathers? Right, here's how it's done. Listen to what he says to you. Do what you know is right. Walk uprightly. Follow God, even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient. Follow God. Hold your guns. This is the promise God has made to you and I also. This was to Jeroboam in that day, but through the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, you and I have got precious promises. We've got that advantage. We've preached about that. I can't quit talking about that. We've got that advantage. God has given it to us. Everything we need, God is providing. Wow, glory to God. I mean, you'll stop and think about it. Those that are gun owners, I mean, what would it be like if you just had an endless supply of 9mm bullets? Thinking of the target practice you can do. I mean, just think of what you could do with an unlimited supply of ammunition for whatever gun you may have, whether it's an airsoft gun, whether it's a BB gun. It was just unlimited supply of your ammunition. Wow, what would you be doing? But God has given us an unlimited supply of His power. And here's a part that most people are missing of His wisdom. Hallelujah. Having that wisdom coming from God so I can make decisions based on the knowledge I know, even if it hurts and goes against what I want. Wisdom demands I do this. Woo! My, wisdom's missing it. Well, it's missing in that list of people there too, isn't it? There's no wisdom in there. It's all just the self-life, isn't it? It's all about what I feel, what I want, and how I want to do it. That's what it's going to be like right now. That's why we got to hold our guns against it, because whether we think we are or not, we are influenced by what the world is doing. It may be subliminal. That ain't the right word. I didn't say it right. I'm so sorry. I'm just human. Praise God. In other words, it may just be a distant, faint, you heard it. But how many realize, if you ever hear it, the enemy just amplifies it. Isn't it amazing how we can't remember what was preached last week, but we can remember what was gossiped to us a year ago? Think about it. All the evil things, I mean, they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. You're driving down the road and you saw that billboard and all of a sudden it flashed up, because most of the billboards change now. And there's ungodliness on that billboard and you saw it. Tell me, how long does it take to get that out of your mind? You'll just be driving down the road and pow, there it'll be. But ask somebody to quote a scripture. I mean, that's how it is. Evil always dominates the mind if we allow it. That's how the enemy, that's why he works, and how come he comes against us. Because he knows if he can defeat us in our mind, he's got us. He's got us. He's not worried about us making heaven, because he's got our minds. He's got our feelings. He's got our emotions, so he don't care. He's got you. He don't care how much you worship, how much you feel good about God. But if he's got control of your mind, your feelings, and how you operate off your feelings, he's got you. That's why the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. You have an adversary that attacks your mind. Hold your guns. Hold your guns. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So here, Jeroboam's got this promise. God's going to be with him. All he has to do, God's going to give him 10 tribes of Israel. All he has to do for God to build him up and make him a king like David and his whole household is follow God, obey God, listen to God. Next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, see why it's so important to get God's word written in your heart? Ooh, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now this might be a valid thought. After all, he had just rent 10 tribes. God did it. He had just rent 10 tribes from Rehoboam in Jerusalem. So this is probably a actual right thought. But what he did after that thought was the totally wrong thoughts. He never thought again of what God said. He immediately started creating his own plan of what he thought would work. Yeah, I'm thoroughly persuaded here. God had orchestrated this. God had moved those 10 tribes under his rule away from Jerusalem. And so even before the temple, even before the tabernacle, there was always the way of worship. There was always the way to build an altar and sacrifice unto the Lord. That was not anything that was given new. But what God did not want is what Jeroboam began to do. Jeroboam began his own religious realm. Jeroboam in verse number 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month. Oh, wow, he's doing something just like God would have done. And actually God had ordained to do. But like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Notice, I want the emphasis put on he had made. He had made. He moved right out of the will of God and the promise of God, doing his own way of worship, doing his own way of serving God. So he's serving God with two calves. Wow, where did that show up before? Has anybody heard about that before anywhere in the scripture? All of a sudden Moses is on the mountain. God is giving them the commandments of how they need to serve God. And Aaron's down there at the bottom of the mountain, giving way to the peer pressure of the religious realm. I always love to read when Moses asked him about it. Aaron, what have you done? And he said, well, you know, they came to me and they wanted gods and they just gave me all their earrings and their gold and I threw it in the fire and this is what came out. Whoa, a golden calf. And here it shows up again in Jeroboam's reign that actually God had ordained, God had moved, God had worked, and God had set up, and then he turns away from God. Every promise God gave him, he just cast it aside and started doing his own work, his own will, his own way. Of course, you know the rest of the story. It brought destruction to his household. What I'm trying to encourage us about here this morning is we got to pay attention to what we're doing, how we're living, decisions we're making. Because it's not only affecting us, it affects our household. It affects our household. It not only affects our household close, it affects the house of God, the kingdom of God. You see, it's evident in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4, Jeroboam had surely heard this. Someone shared it with him. I'm almost positive of it. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. That's one of the commandments of God. God just said, if you keep my commandments, I will build your house. You see, as you read these scriptures, you find that fear, envy, led to Jeroboam's self-will, self-exaltation, and worship void of personal consecration to God. In other words, he was going to worship, but he was going to do it his own way. He was going to worship, but he wasn't going to require the people to consecrate their lives to God. As long as you're consecrated unto me, that's what Jeroboam was after. He did not want to lose anybody to Rehoboam. And thus, he compromised, he changed, he did whatever would make the people happy. Whoa. And it brought devastation. So do not ever allow fear to be a factor of a decision. I'll even go a step further. Do not ever allow an emotion or a feeling to be a factor of a decision. You need to think the thing through all the way past and see what the consequences and weigh it out to see what the consequences will be if I do what I want to do. Nobody's weighing out the consequences anymore. They're just trying to fulfill something going on in their lives, and they really won't let God fulfill it, so they go about fulfilling it themselves, just like Jeroboam. And it will always bring destruction. If it's not God's will, if you've made a decision and you didn't ask God if that's what he wanted done, you've already made the first mistake. You just did it because you felt like it and you wanted to do it, but you didn't pray about it and ask God, God, is this your will for my life? You've already made a mistake. Because if God didn't say yes, that means he probably said no. And that is not what you wanted to hear. And thus you go forward. I know. I've been there. I've done that. It's hard sometimes to do what God wants done because it requires something great of you. That's why I'm preaching to us this morning. Hold your guns. Hold your guns. Because you will be far better off doing God's will than doing your own. Trust me, it will bring devastation. It will bring devastation. Not could it. No, it will bring devastation. If you've stepped right out of the will of God into what you want, it will bring devastation. It was a religion of convenience. You don't have to go up to Jerusalem. That's a long journey. You don't have to go to church anymore. That's just too much effort. No. As we see that day approaching, what did Hebrews tell us? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, especially as you see that day approaching. We've already acknowledged it's approaching. We're in the last days. Christ is about to return. You need to be found in the house of God. Hallelujah. You need that encouragement from the Lord. You need that strength from God. You need what the house of God provides and what God has designed it to provide. Hallelujah. Newsweek had an article that commented on the religious resurgence among baby boomers. Unlike earlier religious revivals, the aim this time is support, not salvation. Help rather than holiness. A circle of spiritual equals rather than an authoritative church. Affirmation of self is at the top of the agenda, which is why some of the least demanding churches are now the greatest in demand. A U.S. News and World Report states, American religion has taken on the aura of pop psychology. Many congregations have multiplied their memberships by going light on theology and offering a steady diet of sermons and support groups that emphasize personal fulfillment. Advice on how to better parents, spouses, employees, bosses, lovers, and friends. How to lose weight. But little to no emphasis on how to be holy. I'm going to close. This is where I got my title for this message today. Hold your guns. It's a story. It's a fictitious story of a bear and a hunter. So the hunter goes into the forest to find a bear to kill so he can make a bearskin coat. He saw a bear, raised his gun to shoot. The bear sees the hunter and says to him in a soft voice, "Wait, let's talk this over. Isn't it better to talk than shoot? Why don't we negotiate?" The hunter says, "Well, all I actually want is a fur coat." The bear admitted, "All I want is a meal." The hunter dropped his guard, leaned his gun on a rock. After negotiations, the bear walked out alone. The bear had a full stomach, and the hunter was wearing a coat from the inside of the bear. Hold your guns. Never negotiate with the devil. Never listen to the lies of the enemy. I shared that devotion Thursday night, emphasize on the reality of seducing spirits, lying spirits. That's what's been tormenting your minds in the campaign. The enemy has come with full force against your mind because he cannot have any access into your life except you allow it. He has no hold on you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But if he can get you to lay your gun down, if he can get you to listen to his lies, if he can get you to follow after that temptation, you're doing it of your own free will. And God will not break that. If you want to sin, you're going to sin. But if you want to be victorious, he says, "I'm right here. I'm right here." A lot of times I saw this little caption. I looked for it, and I'm just going to try to give it to you from memory. A little caption by Leonard Ravenhill. You may have saw it too. He said, "A lot of people will not do anything because they say they lack motivation. But it has been actually proven that if you will just go ahead and start doing, motivation will come." And I thought, that is so true. Because God always says, "Here I am. Come unto me." But if I lack motivation and I don't move towards God, I get nothing. But it's always when I put the first foot forward and start making that move towards what God's asked of me, that God shows up on the scene. So don't say, "I'm just not motivated to do it." You don't have to be motivated to do it. Just take the step that direction of your will, and God will show up. That's his promise. That's the advantage you and I have. And that's why we've got to hold our guns, because the enemy's coming against us. The enemy's coming our way. The enemy's bombarding our mind. The enemy's bombarding our bodies. I mean, the enemy is out to take us out. But let you and I stand up, hold our guns, and go ahead and shoot. Hallelujah. How do you shoot? With the wonderful word of the living God. Hallelujah. I mean, we did a kids' crusade one time. This is our 66 shooter, is it not? Hallelujah. Praise God. 66 books in God's word, our 66 shooter. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hold. God, glory to you. Hold your guns. Hallelujah. Hold on to God's word. Cleave to God's word. Cleave to God's truths. Cleave to God's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Because the enemy is a sly old bear, if you will. He's a sly old fox. He's a roaring lion. He's trying to devour you and I. As long as you and I hold our guns, he is no match for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise God. Amen. It's the last days. This is what we're facing. I mean, if you're turning away from Jesus Christ, you will become one of these things. in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's what's going to take over your mind. That's what's going to take over your life. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen someone that was backslid. That's where they go. They go right back into the world and the worldly ways, and my. But thank God for grace, and thank God for people who pray. Hallelujah, giving God the avenue to come down and deal in the heart of a backslider. Giving God the avenue to come down and deal in the heart of a sinner. Amen, praise God. I realize God will not break anybody's will, but I don't know whether you found it out or not, but God can move in such wonderful ways where they're ready to change their desires. They're ready to change their will, hallelujah, because you begin to pray and ask God to move, which gives him the authority to move. That's why we always got to pray. We need to keep praying. Hallelujah. Never quit praying. I mean, if you think they're hopeless, just tell the devil to get on out of there, because God says there's always hope. See, it's God's word. Hold your guns. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's given you precious promises. God may have even given you a personal promise. You hold on to it. Because I know what those personal promises come with. They come with a commitment. Because he has given me personal promises also. And the directive was just like Jeroboam's. If you will but follow me, and if you will do my will, I will save your lost family. That's my personal promise. See, that's why I'm still holding my guns. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not giving up. That's why I'm going forward. That's why I'm standing for my King. I'm standing for my God. It puts a big red bullseye right on my back. Because I don't give him the time of day. If he's going to shoot him at me, it's not going to be here. It's going to be back there. Because I'm walking away from him. I'm not walking towards him. I'm walking towards my God, my King, my Savior, my Master, my Lord. Hallelujah. The dearest friend I've ever had. That's who I'm walking towards. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Could we lift our hands this morning? Rejoice in the precious promises that you and I have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for these precious promises, Lord. That you're our helper. You're our strength in the time of need. Lord, you said if we ask, Lord God, that you would hear. Hallelujah. Lord, you're just a prayer away, and you're always with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, God. Hallelujah. Help us to hold our guns, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.